have is a gentleman got in touch earlier via the inbox, and this is what he said. Hi there. So you were asking for questions for your Ask Me Anything. I'm not sure if this is relevant as to what you'll be talking about, but I wanted to know, where do people, men, go to who do they turn to when they are thinking of taking their own lives? And also, who can people turn to when someone close has gone through with the act? I haven't seen any real active campaigns from anywhere lately, and I know firsthand it's a real issue. I've been through it twice now. My absolute legend of a brother took his life 10 years ago, and it crushed me, and I'm still affected by it today. There was nowhere to turn to at the time, only whiskey. And now a mate of mine has done the same thing at the weekend. I'm in shock, upset, and angry. So if you know of anywhere out there that can help, or if any of your listeners can help both people, men, thinking of taking their lives, and help for people, men, say, dealing with the aftermath, it'd be really appreciated and much needed for thousands of men out there. Right, I'll do my best to talk about this one. First, a bit of background. If you're just tuning in or you weren't aware, it's over 10 years ago now, lost my friend Gav. He took his own life. Now, from my perspective, that absolutely changed me. Like, for a lot of the last decade, I think a lot of how I've been feeling goes back to that time. And as much as I tried to like deal with it and talk, well, I did go to counseling about it. At the time, I felt like I took a lot on around his funeral. And on reflection, what happened was I kind of went a bit like a stone because I was too busy trying to hold it up for everybody else at the eulogy, his funeral and whatnot. I had a bit of a delayed reaction to my grief, probably over a year later. I just broke down and I had barely cried over the previous year. And given how close we were, that was something that I found canny troubling. Also, the lad in the message mentions hit the whiskey. I didn't specifically hit the whiskey, but I went on the drink for a fat end of a year afterwards. It wasn't every day, but it was binging, and I was getting into some absolute just, oh my God, I look back on it now and I cringe. Just getting up to people twice my size, wanting to start with them, just you name it, man. It was a horrific time. So the support that I looked for at the time in Newcastle, it wasn't necessarily there, and it was with survivors of bereavement by suicide. And I think if they're still going, they're based out of Hull. They've got support groups around the country. So there's a place where you can go for help if you're around the country. I'm unsure if there's anything in Newcastle at the time. I did set one up, actually. I did like a 3,000-mile bike ride around Europe and fundraised for it. But I think I took it on a bit too soon. I've got qualifications in counselling. But they let us do it like 18 months or so afterwards. They normally have a 2-year cutoff point after the thing. But I ended up having to stop it after a while because it was just traumatizing us. So my point with all of this is just be really mindful and careful about how you're feeling, because with suicide, the shock of it lasts for a long time and your brain doesn't work properly. I'm speaking for myself, and I assume it's the same for everybody else. It's a very specific type of bereavement. I've lost other people, obviously, to more traditional deaths like cancer and other things. And in some respects, you prepare yourself for that, but it's the rug being pulled out from under you thing about the suicide that was the real issue. So in terms of support for yourself, try survivors of bereavement by suicide. If you are based in the Northeast, there's an organization called Man Health, which isn't specifically around suicide, but it's support groups for men. So you can find out about them. And I believe the lad who runs it, he's been following Milk the Cow for a long time. He's a good lad. So if you happen to be listening to this, stick your details in the comments. That'll be sound. It's like survivors of bereavement by suicide. Also Man Health. But for people who maybe are feeling a certain kind of way, I believe it's a crisis center in London called Papyrus. You can ask to self-refer to that, and it's a house, and it's got within the house there's people who are pretty extremely suicidal, and there's obviously like a good staff ratio and support that is there. I will contact you separately, and I will post stuff on the Facebook page in regard to suicide. I mean, suicide for me is absolutely like just blighted my life. And what it also does as well, which I've struggled with periodically from time to time, I've felt suicidal myself, and I can't remember the exact stats, but people who've experienced bereavement by suicide are exponentially more likely to do that themselves. So I've had to be pretty careful of that and pretty mindful of that. It's basically reprogrammed my brain in some respects, and it's mad to say, I'm only really starting to like sort of come out of that now and kind of level off. And I mean, during that period of time, there was other things that were going on, problems like with other people, drug and alcohol abuse, and oh god, man, I could go on for hours about this, but I won't. I mean, it's people's lives at the end of the day. But from my personal perspective, which I can speak about, and the trauma that came from that still affects us to this day. It's affected us in the sense that for a long period, I found it really hard to get close to people. And I mean, if it was a new person, good luck with that, because the barriers were very much up. And, you know, working through it through counseling, I realized that was because I was scared of letting anybody get close again. That's friends, relationships, whatever, because I was scared of feeling that level of hurt again if they were to do what my friend did. And that changed us from being a glass half full person to, I mean, half empty for the majority of it, like just going, right, this is not going to get any better, is it? What I want to say is it's a hard and it's a windy road, but it has got better. And that's basically down to just sticking around long enough and trying every day for it to get better. There's no hard and fast way of being able to get past this. You've got to let it run its course, but you've got to be kind of active within that. But it needs to be balanced. If you push, I did that for so long, I ended up having a fucking breakdown, basically. So I've learned to rebalance that. And not push too much too soon, push a bit, step back, see how I'm feeling. Also, try and have your support network around you. But talk to them as well. You're going to be angry. You're going to be depressed. You're going to oscillate wildly between the two. And sometimes you're not going to know which is depression or anger. Anxiety will happen. And it's about how you can control that. This is probably going to affect the relationships you have with your friends and your family too, particularly if they know the person that you've lost as well. It's such, like I said, such a complex thing. But also, this is the main issue that I feel stymies this particular style of bereavement, and also stymies the healing process as a result of it. And it's taboo. It's the taboo around suicide, and it's one of the reasons why I wanted to take this question on today, as hard as it is to bloody talk about. And all I can say is my mate's face, and I miss him every single day, more than 10 years on. And you know what? I hope it never changes. What's changed is my ability to cope, because that's the best that we can expect. We learn to cope, and we get past that, and we can start to thrive. It just takes time. But it's the taboo, as I say. People do not want to talk about the reasons why people take their own lives. It's kind of the same energy as like we're coming out of this whole COVID pandemic, but we're not, are we? If you look at the figures, if you can find them. And it's a delusionary thing. It's like, I don't want to talk about this, so I'm going to pretend it doesn't happen. And if anybody does talk about this and it affects me or triggers me in any kind of way, I'm probably going to react and target them, and I've certainly experienced that too, because I know through like training as a counselor, and I want to say it's a different world entirely to being on the other side of the desk and all of that, but it does give you a bit of knowledge on what I should be doing. And I've tried to do as much of that as I possibly can, which is face it, acknowledge it, understand that it's happened, do your very best to absorb that and not like take it out on the people around you, and certainly don't take it out on yourself. As I say, there's a few times, I mean, there's one time in particular, and this was probably like, dear me, maybe it's 18 months after it happened. I just couldn't sleep that night. I'd went off work on the sick again because I'd had some kind of rebound effect, some traumatic rebound effect. And I was just sat there with a, we'll call it a gully in the northeast, a bread knife. And I just sat there with it next to us, like times I had it on my wrist all night until sunrise. And it was that moment that I decided that I wasn't going to do it. And do you know the thing that stopped us from doing it during those extreme times? Knowing how it feels. That was it. It wasn't out of it wasn't out of respect for my own life. It wasn't for the sanctity of my own life. It wasn't for anything like that whatsoever. Like, in some respects, I hated myself because of the, how fucked up all the grief was. It was not wanting to visit any of those feelings whatsoever onto anybody around us that I love. And the very, very, very odd time these days, I'll get like that, but it doesn't take as long to come out of it. And I've acknowledged that that's just part of my life, that sometimes I'll feel like that, and it's about how I work with it and build myself back up and get past how I'm feeling right then. And what I say to myself, like, is like, through experience, I know that this isn't forever. It might last a day, but it's quite often it lasts about an hour, and I just milk it for the rest of the day. Like, that's how it used to be, because, you know, for some, in some respect, that was a good thing, just because I just didn't have the mental capacity to be able to deal with the depths of how I was feeling from losing my friend. If you're listening or watching this, I hope you never go through this. I hope you never go through what the gentleman who contacted us there, which sparked this conversation, is going through now. And I'd just like to say to you, my friend, before we move on from this, don't ever feel alone with it. If you feel I haven't given you enough in terms of like practical advice on who to speak to, get back to us in the inbox, mate, and I'll do everything that I can to signpost you to some support, and I'll help you look through it. Because I know what it's like when it first happens. Your brain freezes, and even being able to like type something into Google's like kind of like acknowledging that it's happened. So sometimes you just need a friend, and sometimes that friend is better off being a stranger. So if you need that, get in touch. And same goes for anybody else. If I can signpost you any support services, my inbox is always open, milkthecowpodcast@gmail.com if you'd prefer to go that way. And it kind of ties into the first thing about cost of living and the energy cap going up. All we have, all of us, is each other. We don't have anything else. Like, the government ain't going to do it. The Labour Party ain't going to do it. None of them are going to do it. They all live in a fucking dream world. Meanwhile, millions of us are out here dealing with this kind of shit every fucking day. So all we have is each other. So let's be that. Let's try and be that for each other if we possibly can. But yeah, shouts to everybody out there who is a survivor of bereavement by suicide. Also, if you're feeling some kind of way about taking your own life, similarly, get in touch and I'll do my best to signpost you to any kind of support services. Now, just a point on that, like, because I'm so close to it, I shouldn't be the one to be your counsellor, even though I'm qualified. It's not right, and it's against the boundaries of from what I've been trained in, specifically through this particular channel and this avenue. Now, if I was doing it obviously professionally, it would be a different thing, and you know, there's different things, but like, you can't see me like this first and then me become your counselor. It's really not good for you, and anybody who is a counselor who's doing that kind of thing, they really shouldn't be. So just be mindful of that. There's good and there's bad counselors out there, and the good ones who are the ones who stick to the boundaries and not only look after you but look after themselves, that's what they're there for. So just be mindful of that. And also, when you do finally get to see somebody, the first session's probably going to be filling in paperwork and a little bit of chat. It's just how it is, man. They've got to like assess your growth for their funders and things. So just bear that in mind. And as I say, please do get in touch. But before then, if you'd like to support our work, please become a patron. And you can do that via patreon.com/cowdaily. That's patreon.com/cowdaily. Also, please sign up to the Cow Daily mailing list. Links are in the description. So anyway, moving on to the next question. Actually, I'll have a look at the comments first and see if anybody's responded to what we're talking about. Got Paul Veronica here. Hello, Paul. My stepson died of complications due to drug addiction in our house very suddenly, and I had to do CPR on him. It was very grim and will always stay with me. Mate, I hear you. And I'm really sorry you went through that, and I can't imagine. I just can't imagine it. I mean, I didn't actually find my friend. He went away. I was the last person to speak to him, so it's probably about as close to it. But you know, it's your stepson and it's in your house, mate, and I'm really sorry to hear that. Like, knowing you, Paul, as well, I know you're a really good person, and nobody deserves that, man. So sorry to hear it, and I really hope you've found the solace or at least some counseling if you can. Do get in touch if I can help, man. All the best. Right, what else we got? Just bear with us. Comments all over the place. Steve Jackson, glad you're still with us, fella. Counselors can be good at taking on other people's hurt, but can often be bad at asking to help themselves. We all need to look after our own health, mental and physical. You would be missed by many, and your strength will help many watching this. You've made a difference. Bloody hell, Steve, you're trying to make us cry. Bottom lip start going, but you can't say because I like to have my microphone here. But yeah, cheers, man. I really appreciate your kindness there. Yeah, it's hard to talk about this stuff. And you know, I'm willing to do it because we can't have these taboos. That taboo around suicide, also things around drug and alcohol and all of that. Why? Like, these are part of everyday life, things that people experience and go through. Why have a taboo which makes it harder for people who are willing to acknowledge their grief in its entirety? But I understand people sometimes just don't want to face things. But just know that if you're doing that, like, if we're all working together, things would get easier, don't they? Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to move on from this because it's something that I'll return to in the future, I'll wager, but for now, that's enough. You can support our work via Patreon. Also, you can see full episodes of this podcast on YouTube, Spotify, and everywhere else you get your podcasts. Cheers.